So I mentioned this last week as we were beginning that today we were going to be doing something called the remix. Now, what I'm anticipating happening from kind of here on out is that whenever we finish a sermon series, we'll come up here and do a remix. And so the reason this is called the One Remix is because my name for this series was kind of Oneology, that the world would know that we're one by living a certain way. And so the remix is kind of, we're just mixing it up again and thinking through these things. So in your handout there, let me just begin by digging into some reasons why are we doing this. So why are we taking time on a Sunday morning when I thought, you know, do your job, aren't you supposed to be preaching? What's this about? Why are we doing this? Well, I'm trying to, the big word there, the first word in your notes is the word paradigm. Paradigm is a model or a pattern or a rule that sets or grounds your behavior, guides your behavior. And we're shifting the paradigm, or what I'm hoping to do is shift the paradigm from me being the only person that does any work. I've said that wrong already, right? You blasted me on that already earlier. There's other people that are doing work on a Sunday morning, but I'm thinking primarily of the sermon event where I'm coming up and preaching. I love to do that. I love to teach. That's how I'm gifted. It's what I need to be doing. You all give me that feedback too, that man, we love it when you're up there teaching. That's great. But we're trying to shift that paradigm to be wholly engaged in that moment, in the preaching moment, that we would be wholly engaged. And so this idea of learning is closely related to that. When I mean wholly engaged, I mean we're all actively learning on a Sunday morning. So for too long, we haven't moved to the learn stage. You come in on Sunday morning, you listen to what I'm going to preach or say, and to the degree that that hits for you, or to the degree that you like that, or it resonates, or something like that, then you walk out, and you might even say to me on the way out, hey, good job, Pastor. Way to go. Man, that was a good one today. And so that's nice. I mean, I'm flattered that I could encourage you in that way. But that's not necessarily what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that you listened to the sermon and you gave Phil a grade A. So, man, you did a good job today. Got high marks for you. Love that. I mean, good. Nice. So we're wanting to press into learning. What am I trying to say here? You try saying it.
Yeah. I mean, in the New Testament, you see where it's not just you have one guy who is speaking and he's the only one who has all the knowledge, but the apostles really tried to labor in that the whole church to be educated, theologically educated, and then living out that practical theology in practice. So in today's paradigm, we use the word paradigm, right? Yeah. So in today, that was the early church paradigm, was that every single believer was educated in the same way as the elder or as the pastor. But in today's paradigm, in today's church, especially, I would say, the American church, we have the pastor, and then we have the congregation. The pastor has all the theological knowledge. He has all the learning. He has everything. He has been doing the studies. He's been to seminary. He's been all those things. And then your congregation just kind of listens to what he does. And hey, that was, like I said, a good job. But really, our task in the New Testament is that for every one of you to be in that same way, just as Phil in the last week has been wholly engaged in that teaching, in that text, for you all to have that same level of understanding so that you can be fruitful in your work. When I say work, I mean your life work, whether that be your homes, your families, your workplaces, your societies, your neighborhoods. Imagine if we have a whole body who is theologically robustly educated, knowing the text, been wrestling, really truly wrestling with the text, with the issues, and then now seeking to apply them and to live those out in their daily lives. Like, man, that's going to make a huge impact in the world. And I think that's the kind of paradigm that we're trying to shift towards a little bit.
And again, we recognize this is kind of different for some of you, that you've never thought that, I'm supposed to be leaning into this too? So this came about, what was it, like post-Reformation was when this kind of came about. There's a whole nerdy bunch of stuff you could read about when did this shift take place, because up until a little after the Reformation, it was always the case that churches had a deep, theological, robust understanding of like what the Bible had to say. But it gradually turned into like where it all centered on one person. And so you would send like one person to go get seminary trained, and then you'd come together, and then that person would speak every week, and then you'd scatter again and come back in that. And I just think the model is, well, like Ephesians, I'm equipping you for the work of ministry. The elders are equipping you so that you can do the work of ministry. It's not to all be done by me. So I've been told things like, it's your job. It's not to be done by all of us, it's your job. That's why we pay you. Okay, well, I'm not gonna be a part of something that's like not in keeping with what the New Testament says. So nowhere in the New Testament does it say, and thou shalt hire a pastor, and that person shall do all the work. That's not found in the Bible anywhere. It's just your tradition or what you think ought to be happening. So for us to get more dialed into what the Bible says, we're gonna have to start living a little differently. And that means like, I'm gonna have to function differently. You're gonna have to function differently. So that's part of the shift. So all that up to the, those are the first 2 points. The third point is just next generation. Like I said last week, since COVID, we've doubled in size and the number of people that are here on a Sunday morning, and we have one less elder than we had in 2020. So less elders, more people to take care of. So how do we move that? Well, we just start building the next generation. We just start raising up the entire church to be leaders, and then we'll see who leans in and how that all fleshes out. So again, what do I mean by it's more than just being biblical? Do you remember my thought there?
Yeah, so okay, a lot of times we think that the way that we do church, the way we do learning is it's the biblical way. And we need to go back to the way, really the way that Christ and the apostles taught and their teaching, and to really understand that rather than just saying that we're biblical, you have some maybe biblical thoughts and maybe some biblical ideas, but that there's a true learning pathway for us to go down that is in the way of Christ and his apostles.
Yeah, yeah. So the next part of your notes there, this is from the education world, and it's called Bloom's Taxonomy. So I don't know if you can see it. Can you read it decently in your notes? If you can't, just type into your phone Bloom's Taxonomy, and you'll be able to zoom in. So a lot of what we do in church life is just here at the bottom. So Bloom's Taxonomy is an educational system of how we intake information, and it produces change in our lives. So most of what we do in the church is like right here. So if I asked you, what were the 3 points I had in last week's sermon? Anybody got them without looking at your notes?
Wasn't there four? Oh, somebody else said it too. Yes.
Yeah. There's four, good. You see what I mean?
We know the number, but I don't know if we know what the four are.
Right, right. Not, so, and my point is like, even if you can recall that, that doesn't mean that it's like changed your life. Like, because you can recall the points doesn't mean that it's had any impact in your life. And so what we're trying to do is get to a place where these things are taking place. Not that we're just coming in and remembering, oh, what did Phil talk about last week? But did I understand what was being said? So we're moving up this ladder here. Did I understand what's being said? Is it applying in my life? So glorifying the Son was last week. Yeah, how does that impact what I'm doing day to day in my life? And then, okay, how am I, so you just keep going up the ladder here. You can read all that. So making connections among ideas. Well, if that's the case, then that means this for my life. And okay, so that means that certain things have to be true and certain things don't have to be true in my life. And ultimately to the point where you're passing this on to others. You're producing new or original work. Like you've taken that and incorporated it into your worldview, and now glorifying the Son is a part of how you're living in the world. So this is what we're trying to aim for. Again, this is not like John 3:16, right? Bloom's Taxonomy is not in the Bible. But certainly you understand like applying, like James 1 is saying, you know, a person who hears what the Bible says and doesn't do what it says is like looking at yourself in the mirror and then immediately forgetting what that was and going on. So most all of us, it looked like, I mean, you're a pretty good looking crowd this morning. Looks like when we came in today, we looked at the mirror and we probably made some adjustments after last night's damage. So, but when we come on a Sunday morning, if we're not holding this up to our lives and saying, okay, what needs to happen in my life now? What needs to change? Like, what does it look like for me to take this to heart? What's going on? If we never do that work, then we're just following what James is saying. It's like looking in the mirror and just walking away and forgetting immediately about what we did. And in church, we create these systems by just stuffing more and more every week. So part of what we're trying to do in a remix is, can we just hit the pause button on that? Let's take some time and breathe. What's landing? What's being applied? How is this being flushed out in your lives?
What are the issues that are coming up that's gonna have to cause you to change? That's part of the analyze and evaluate. Yeah. Is like, okay, what are the issues? And I'm gonna start to apply that.
Yeah.
Boy, there's issues that come out. There's like problems, that situations that I need to maybe think about more deeply about in order to keep applying it.
Yeah. So what are we calling you to? We've talked about kind of why we're doing this and kind of gave about active learning. What are we calling you to? We're just calling you to be an active learner. So Romans 12:1. What does Romans 12:1 say, or 12:1-2? Therefore, I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so how are you renewing your mind? That's kind of what we're getting at. Or 1 Peter 4:1 has this complex state of mind, this way of thinking about what the scriptures say, that we're diligently putting this in our lives. So we're gonna be active learners. The scripture's pointing to this. James 1 is telling us this. If we're not applying, we're not listening. That's what the Bible would say. So all that is, we're just asking you to be an active learner, to engage this on a Sunday morning.
Which is what a disciple is,
right?
Is a learner.
Yeah, a learner, yeah. So we're quickly, there's the clock, you know, so rolling. So let's review what we were doing the last 8 weeks. 8 weeks ago, we started this series in John 13 through 17. I preached a sermon on loving one another, that this new community that Jesus is forming, the church, it runs by one foundational command, to love one another. And by this, the watching world knows that we're his followers. Then Tom followed up with that sermon from John 14, verses 1 to 14, and how we ask anything flows out of the Spirit teaching us, flows out of Christ teaching and his plan. We see Jesus answer requests and we're filled with joy, but we're asking anything of him. That's the invitation. Jesus says, just ask anything of me. I think it was week 3, Luke preached on this promise in that John 14 to 12 to 14, that if you ask anything, you're going to do greater works than me when you ask anything, because the Spirit's going to come through for that. Jesus does his work through us by his Spirit and in his name. So the works are greater because the whole world knows and many will believe. What else stood out to you from that?
Yeah, so the idea that what are these greater works? How can we do greater works than Jesus? And it's this, the constant theme that's throughout John 13 to 17 is this teaching. This teaching I'm going to give you. The Spirit is going to come and teach you. He's going to teach you in all truth. And so as we live out this teaching and as we live out this community life of one another ministry, this love one another, so abiding by Christ's teachings in the corresponding thing of loving one another, man, we're going to do some incredible things. I mean, they sound simple. They sound like, well, that's way too easy. We're talking about, like, I think John talked about, like, you know, loving our wives and parenting our children and being a good worker. Like, this seems like it's way too easy. But when we truly live that out and through the power of Christ, through the power of the Spirit, man, it changes the world. It flipped the world upside down in Thessalonica.
Yeah, yeah. So a greater works than Jesus. And then the Spirit teaches us, so Luke talked about that in his answer just then. But this was Jason teaching us on the Spirit teaching us. Spirit will teach us what we can't handle. He'll lead us into truth. He'll root all who follow and believe in Jesus in his teaching so that we can be one. So like I said this morning, we're all one in Jesus. That's what the Spirit's doing. He's making much of Jesus, teaching us. And then those last 4 weeks, Ron taught us on abiding in Jesus and his words. So we stay in fellowship with Jesus by loving one another and the Spirit's teaching, which we embrace, and it leads to fruit. So I think Ron talked about this a little. We abiding, it almost is like a junk drawer term, like in the Christian world, like it makes for good refrigerator magnets, you know, and there's like a cluster of grapes and it's like abide in me and my words. And really what the invitation here is just to, we're abiding in what Jesus has asked us to do, to love one another, to be a certain kind of people. And the Spirit's teaching us. And as we live out that, it's going to lead to fruit. Sanctify them in the truth. Who was that?
That was me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So these last three, we kind of dug into John 17 as the launching off point. So this body of teaching, the sanctify them in the truth. Mm-hmm. You actually told people, like, I was gone that week, but I think you said something like, when Phil gets back, there's going to be this elaborate plan.
Elaborate plan.
Like, great. Thank you.
Yeah, all work, the pressure. Keep
work
it on
to
you.
Do. Yeah, right. But this is kind of part of that, that we're trying to unfold a different way of what we could do and how learning could happen and how we could deepen in that. So what else about sanctify in the truth?
It's, typically, it's like a mystified experience, like sanctify them in the truth. Like what is this truth, right? Well, your word is truth. Okay, so like we just live according to the Bible. Like, and again, that just seems too vague and too general. But really what Jesus is pointing to is that there's this, again, I'm going to keep saying it, like there's this body of teaching that he gives to the apostles, which then the apostles give to the church, who, Acts chapter 2, they were devoted to what? Not just they were devoted to the word, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And what was the apostles' teaching? This word that was given by the Spirit of truth, these set of body of teachings that were given to the church, and they lived according to those teachings. And that's how then the Spirit is how Jesus is sanctifying his church, making them one, around living according to these teachings grounded in the gospel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Then John talked to us. We assigned John this text on or this subject of sin into the world because he's thinking about being sent into the world and wanted him to deal with all the implications in that. So a great sermon there where kind of walked us through John 17. Just the point is to know Jesus. The world doesn't know us. The world will hate us, but we remain here and we're sent just like Jesus. We are knowing him. The Father sent Jesus so that people would know him. Jesus came so his disciples would know him. And now we're sent. Something like that was John's outline, so that we can know Jesus. And then we wrapped with glorifying the Son, that Jesus is glorified, and as a result, the Father's glorified through the Son by the cross, and then that changes us, so that now everything that we're living is bringing glory to Jesus. And as we live out that and bring glory to Jesus through all the practical things, then it's glorifying the Father. So that's a summary, a quick, like, 10,000-foot summary over the series to jog your memory about those sermons. So that gets us to the point. We've had to do all this background work. What a remix I envision will typically look like will be a quick summary of what that series was, and then we'll come together and think about these three areas. So what you have in your notes are kind of very, there's a lot of bullet points underneath there. When we talk about committing our hearts as a step of application, we're thinking about, like, what are reflections and prayers? And so the question you might answer, what's bubbling to the surface for you as we review the Upper Room Discourse? As you think about those eight sermons, what bubbles up to the service, in this service? What bubbles up? What's something that's standing out to you? Or a truth that you're gonna walk away from, or not walk away from, golly, that's bad. Like 2 John, if we walk away from the truth, isn't
yeah,
it?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, very bad. No, that you're going to walk into, that you're going to keep practicing, that you have to, like something you saw in this series, like if that's true, this is how I'm going to have to live. So are all those the hard things or what?
Yeah, it's, you're just journaling yeah. Your thoughts. I mean, these are like the takeaways. These are the things that I've been really been revealed to me, been kind of new things things that I'm trying to take to heart. So you're just, at this point, on committing your heart, you're just trying to figure, what is there? What is God, what's God been doing in my heart over the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, three months, however long you've been in that text?
Yeah, so I asked Luke to kind of give me his takeaways. So do you want to talk through some of these?
Yeah.
You got them there?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so these are, I've done this practice for many years and really enjoy doing this kind of practice. It's something I think is really helpful. It shouldn't just be where I'm teaching something and then like, oh yeah, it's all for them, but it's also, it's primarily even for me as well. And so these are some of my takeaways, how I went through this exercise. Just reading, like number one, reading through the Upper Room, it was written to a church, written to the churches that John was a part of. We could see some of those in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. But these were written, the Gospel of John was written to the church, not just, typically how I've understood John is, it's one that you give to maybe new believers, maybe those that have yet to come to faith, and it's like, hey, let me introduce you to Jesus. That's not, I wouldn't be fair to John. John, I don't know if John would say, yeah, that's what was my intention when I wrote it. No, I was reading it with my intention, not with John's intention. No, John's intention is that it was written to a church to make them confident in the teachings. So John chapter 20, verse 21, the purpose statement, I'm writing these things so that you may believe and that you may have life in his name. Again, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, that's written to those people who haven't believed yet, because that's why he's writing. He's writing so that they could believe, because they haven't believed yet. No, that's not in biblical theology and the chronology. He's actually writing to churches. He's writing so churches can believe, and that they would be confident in this teaching. And as they are confident in that teaching, that gives them life. Not just gives them life, but it gives them life to those that are around them. That's why I talked about, like, if we really truly embrace these teachings, even as simple as they are, it changes the world. Like, it makes an impact in the world around us. It gives others life as well, if we truly want to embrace that together as one community. So that's, you want me to go through all these? This is going to take me forever.
No, because okay. You gave like a whole sermon on your first one, so that's
good.
Yeah,
I know. I can't help it. I get too excited.
It's good. Like, so just like one of his takeaways early on was like, this is for the church. This is, and so he just journaled that as a thought. Okay, so this is for the church. He has a bullet there, that last one, asking anything is tied to our love for one another. So this isn't just some ethereal thing. Jason talked about that. We're not asking anything like, well, you know, what size ratchet do I need on a 3/4-inch bolt that I can't tell from, that the Spirit's going to magically give me the insight there. It's not necessarily what is meant by ask anything. It's ask anything as it relates to loving one another, and the Spirit's going to come through and help. You know, we have that kind of confidence. So you're just like some big lines that stood out to you. You might just journal those. So there's space in your notes there. I'd love for you to drop a couple thoughts there. So then, because we got our eye on the clock too. So committing our mind. This is where we're forming convictions. So Luke's big conviction for this whole section was that we would be devoted in one mind as a church centered on the teachings of Christ. So that's his big takeaway. But the mind, we might think, is, oh, what were interesting ideas? And it's a little deeper than that. It's not just interesting ideas. Those would probably go more into the journaling section of this. Something burned in my heart when I heard that. What we're doing with our mind is, now there's something that has a bit of steel to it, or has a bit of, you know, like, what convictions do you have on what the text is saying and what that means for you? This is what we're after when it comes to the mind. So you want to talk through maybe just a couple real quickly?
You want to just grab the first one?
Sure.
All right, so we're unified around this set of principles that are clear, reproducible, and impactful. This contrasts with the random teachings that each family lives out without an impact in the world. So again, how I've typically come to the Upper Room is, or even to the other texts, is these are all just random teachings. There's not anywhere where it's a cohesiveness to it. And so I'm thinking, oh yeah, so when he says abide, that just, oh, I just need to just somehow walk with Jesus somehow, maybe read my Bible in the mornings. I don't really know what that means, but I'm just gonna try to feel like I'm gonna be like with Jesus somehow. But really, like, no, there is this idea that he is giving us this teachings this way of life. He calls it the way, the truth, and life, is how Jesus is. He is the way. He has this way of teaching, this way of living our life together as a church, and that's what we're abiding in. This church is abiding in this truth, and we're being sanctified in this truth. And so it's not just going to be, oh, like I need to, like, don't grumble or complain, because that we're not supposed to grumble and complain. All right, yeah, I got that one tick mark. I, you know, store that one in my treasure chest. Okay, no, but how does that fit in with the rest of this? Where is that all coming into cohesion with the rest of, that was from Philippians 2, I believe. Yeah. I'm looking at Don over there, like 2:12, 2:13, something like that. Don't grumble or complain, but in everything give thanks. But how does that tie into the rest of Philippians? And what does Philippians tie into the rest of the New Testament? And so rather than, like, you know, keep teaching you all, especially as I'm thinking now I need to go back to my role as a leader, as an international partner, not just for with you guys, but then with my work internationally with other churches, not just, let me just give you just, oh, like something to get you through to the week. All right, let me just give you something to help you out, to make sure you get to next Sunday. Here's some nugget of truth. But it's all, like, each Sunday is disconnected from one another, or each teaching is disconnected from one another. But rather, these teachings should be clear, they should be reproducible in the sense that now I'm able to take this to somebody else, right? I know, okay, these are maybe the 7, 8, 10 principles that we are all going to live by, and I can take that to somebody else, and then it's going to be impactful. Like, it's going to make an impact in my life and in the world around me. So that was one clear conviction.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, yours is going to look different than what Luke has written down here. So you might see this and be like, well, I could never come up with something like that. We don't expect you to. This is Luke's convictions, and we're putting them there for as a way of illustration. So under heart, it's journaling. And like I think like if I was journaling something under heart, it might be like, man, loving one another is huge, and all these things that we've looked at are informed by loving one another. Under convictions, it might be, you know, something like I too easily give a cop out for loving one another, or something like that. Is that fair enough? You know,
yeah.
So with the mind, and then so we can get to the last part here, committing our life. So what are projects and life habits? Life habits. What needs to change? So Luke, you know, you've heard that strain about it's these teachings, it's this central stuff. So Luke has a life habit here of rather than just offering like churches in his networks a smorgasbord of teachings like, oh yeah, well here's a good Bible study and there's one over there and try this. No, try to center it more so that we can hone in on those one teachings that we have. That's an application or a life habit that he's drawing from this.
So that we can be one.
Yeah, so that we can be one. Yeah.
And not just, oh, I've known this Bible study and I've had been a part of this Bible study and I've been a part of this Bible. But it's like we are all one, unified around the same teaching.
Yeah. Yeah. So laboring and strengthening to have one-mindedness. Yeah, there's your other one. Yeah. So, I mean, for some of you in this room, it might be that I need to think differently about my small group in light of this. Or I need to think differently about church. And so the life habit's going to be, I'm going to prioritize that in maybe a way I haven't. So I'm just trying to give you real practical examples as to what this might look like. But I can't make this up for you. This is where you need to take time and, okay, what's landing? God, what are you saying to me? How does this need to live? So what do we mean by projects, maybe? It says projects and life habits.
Yeah.
So life habits might be something that I need to put in my life that I'm going to live day after day. What would be a project?
So a life habit would be, I need to know what these teachings are, but the project would be, I need to know what these are, right?
Yeah.
So I need to now go and maybe talk to Luke or Phil, like, what are you talking about, what these teachings are? And then we can say, okay, we're actually going to outline this over the next year.
Yeah.
As I said, that's kind of the things that we're working on,
is
how can we give you all these things? And so your project is gonna be, I need to know these things and I need to start working towards, I need to make some maybe life changes in order to be devoted to them, to say I need to not just know them, but then seek to apply them in community with people.
Yeah. Like right now I'm doing work like this in for the next sermon series. And so I've been reading and thinking, okay, here's applications for my life, and here's, you know, mine. Here's some things that are standing out. But the project is, I really don't have the argument of this book down yet. And so the project in my life right now is, I have to understand the argument of this book before I can preach it. And so I'm working through that. So there's kind of an orderedness to this. So I know it seems like we're making application. Some of you might think, you're making this way too complicated. Well, it gets back to that Bloom's taxonomy, right? It's more than just like remembering certain details or being able to say, yeah, that series was great. Doggone it, we need to love one another better. Well, yeah, but what does that mean for you? Like, what's that? Like, what conviction do you have around that? Like Martin Luther, here I stand, I can do no other. I have to live this way based on what I've seen in God's word, and I am living differently because of this sermon series. Like, what is it? What aspect of this?
So to make you think again in a different way than Bloom's taxonomy is like the head, sure, the heart, and the hands. So you have to kind of be knowing what, okay, this, I'm understanding it, like I'm getting the concept, I'm kind of like wrestling with it in my head, I'm getting it, I'm able maybe to think through it a little bit, but then sinking it down in the heart is like, man, this is at my core, like this is why I truly believe this, and I truly want to operate out of this, like this is, no one can shake me from this, right, because it's now sinking down into my heart, I know this so well, and then if it's actually here and in here, it can't help but then come out into your hands, and you actually start doing it. It has to start here and here before we actually can actually reproduce it and be practicing in that way.
So I know this is a weird, funky Sunday morning. I think I said last week, it's gonna be a lot different. It's gonna be weird. So I tried to warn you, but what I'm tempted to ask in the spirit of clarity, does this resonate with anyone? Does anyone out there just want to say, this is helpful, or try to explain this one more time so I can try to get it? So does anybody want to give a voice to that? I know we don't normally do this on a Sunday morning, but I think this is what I would envision for this remix, that, man, this is a time where we're coming together. You know how we love the Thanksgiving service, the Thanksgiving meal? So I know a lot of us love the meal, but a lot of you say the highlight of your year is that evening when we come together and you're hearing people talk about, this is what God did in my life, this is what God did in my life. That's almost what I envision these remixes to be, that we're coming together, we've been working through a series together, and we're coming together as the body. Man, this is what God said, this is what I'm applying in my life, this is what I'm wrestling with, pray for me, help me, here's what I'm thinking. So I keep talking, but does anyone seriously want to give voice to any of this just to help me? Chuck, thank you.
That's a lot of information.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry.
I have some basic questions. You mentioned the three reasons we're actively learning. The concerns that I have, and I've dealt with new paradigms and different mindsets.
Sure.
I understand I'm empathetic to the Mexico, which is a challenge. Will the structure of expositional preaching be the same, or are you going to be preaching every Sunday expositionally? Will it?
Yeah. If I understand what you mean by expositional preaching, but yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. Right.
I'm old school, I love your outlines.
Yeah, sure.
And basically those, in my estimation, are doing what you guys are trying to refine.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Job is to clarify the text and call for a corresponding response from his hearers. That's kind of how I define exposition preaching.
Okay.
And I think that the basic concept that Christ says, all we've got to do is
No.
Words?
No.
So they're basically part of the population of saints?
No.
That's a big can of worms we're opening up.
Yeah. Apostles were just sent out by Jesus to go basically build churches, yeah. I don't assume, yeah.
I'm just curious about, I think the paradigm's great. It's just, you pretty much answered the question, because expositional preaching obviously is extremely
important. Yeah, so we're just kind of given some space for souls to process that. You know, so if we've been doing an expositional series for 12 weeks, we come up for air together. Hey, what stood out to everyone? Where are we at? Anything we need to make clear? Anything that is not as clear? How can we, you know, encourage? What's landing? What's not landing? Those kind of things. That's what the purpose of a remix would be.
So you're not saying that we're doing this every week, this remix?
Right. No. This would be, yeah. Yeah, and I think I would just say more leaning into us all being active learners. That's the conversation that we need to have as a church, that we're way too passive, in my estimation. Now, are people applying this? Well, of course. Yeah, I don't deny that there's applying happening, but if you go to your small group tonight and say, man, what stood out to you from this series, and nobody says anything, are they really applying it?
I love the paradigm in delving into
Series. Yeah.
I just wanted to
Yeah, good.
Expositional structure going forward.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it's still going to be, you know, teaching the Bible, but just occasionally coming up for air as we're teaching the Bible. Yeah, good. Anything else quickly? It's 11:39, but... just leaning into you as a body. Yeah. Oh, Greg, yes. That's right. No, I get it. Yeah. That's right. And that's still the plan. So we're not abandoning the Bible. I'm just wanting it to go deeper into our hearts. Yeah. So that's good.
I think by way of closing on this conversation, I want to read again from Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 says this: about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. So when I said earlier that the early church, the expectation by the apostles and by the teachers were that, okay, we're teaching in such a way that now you can teach this stuff. And so the writer of Hebrews is a bit frustrated. He's saying, by this time you guys should be teachers. You guys should, every one of you should be able to come up here and teach from the upper room. Is everybody here ready to teach from the upper room? Anybody? maybe Jason or something, because he already preached one. But that was the expectation from them. And that's, again, I can't reiterate this enough. That's what impacted the world. We want, if we really desire to impact our world around us. I mean, how many times I've heard the bemoaning about the American church in decline. And what are we going to do? Man, the American church is declining, and I don't know, what we're just losing our young people and this and that. And yet, we're content to not be teachers. We're just saying, we're just content to come here and listen and have him explain everything, and then we just kind of walk away. But the reason that the early church exploded in the way that it did, and I'll give you a sneak peek, the way that it's exploding in many parts around the world, especially in the global south, is because they are teaching in such a way that they're expecting that their hearers are going to teach others also. Right? They're going to be able to be masters of these things. And just to close from verse 14, solid food is for the mature, for those who have powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, that's a mouthful. Sometimes I'll be reading theology books and I'll just like read a sentence out to my kids and they're like, is that even English? Like, yeah, this is probably like a confusing verse. It's pretty heady words, but basically what it's saying is that as you continue to practice this stuff and continue to learn and teach it, your powers of discernment, which means your ability to know what is right and wrong, how to live in such a way around the world, and to be having a hermeneutically trained judgment, to be able to understand the text, because you're doing it, this constant practice over and over and over again, man, you are going to understand the text. You're going to understand the Bible way more clearly because you're going to be continually in that. You're going to know the first principles, the basic principles of the teaching of Christ, and you can build upon that, which then can make a huge impact in the world. So,
yeah, good.
That's my mic drop.
Let me pray. I know we need to go. We'll be lingering around the front, so let's keep the conversation going, and so we'll keep rolling. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning, and pray just the spirit of what you've accomplished in the Upper Room Discourse would land well, that we would be a people who love one another, and that by our love, the whole world would know that we're your disciples, and that we would be one, like we saw last week, in aiming to glorify you, not just that we would be one, but that we would be perfectly one. And so would you give us the right moves to make to lead us into that kind of oneness, to lead us into that kind of unity, so that we can be the people that you want us to be. So flesh this out in our lives. Help us to glorify you and look to you. Thank you for all that we've been able to delight in today, thinking about Jesus and all that he's done for us. And even now as we get ready to sing and give more praise to you corporately, would you be glorified as we keep walking in this? And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.